morning, President. Good morning, honorable members. The chairperson is not in today as it was announced, so I'll hold the phone. But I have an appointment at 12, the Joint Standing Committee on Defense. So if you know, we are not done before 12 o'clock, I'll recuse myself and ask somebody to share in my absence. I hope we'll have finished this program by 12 o'clock. I've just introduced myself. I'm Elegant Chamberlain, and let me get them other members introducing themselves. You can start at the right at the end.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize. The traffic was hectic. There were two accidents on the M1, so it was a bad morning. I'm Dalmaine Christian. I'm from the Northern Cape. I'm the Gulf Committee.
Can we get a
You can introduce your team.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. let me take also this opportunity, Chair, to report that the minister is not present today because she's in Kenya and the deputy minister is attending the cabinet committee. My name is Mzoli Sitoni. I am the acting DG for social development and other colleagues of the Joseph Dancing.
Good morning, gentlemen. I am Taban Butelis from Department of Social Development, responsible for monitoring the information in the department. Thank you.
Good morning, and all my members. My name is Tony Trezen. I'm the CFO for the department.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Colin Mumal. I'm the DDG responsible for welfare services.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Peter Nespare, DDG for Community Development.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Bernard Diego. I'm the Division Responsible for Social Security at the Department.
Good morning, members. My name is Sabina Sakonika. I'm the Special Advisor to the Minister of Social Services.
Good morning, Chairperson, members and colleagues. My name is Jessica Longwe. I'm the Parliamentary and Cabinet Director in the Office of Education.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Ken Mangwe from the Department of Social Development. Definitely be on the minister's floor so that they tell us
what is it that they have to do to ensure that we reduce the risk of acting and have permanent people contracted? I mean, you know, and the employment. And the congratulations I gave you got a good audit from the AG's office. But you know that we have a worry with some of the matters that are raised by the AG in terms of you see, you and us, there's somewhere where our functions meet. You see, you have a response, we play oversight on you and the executive, on the executive. And but you also have a role to play oversight on the finances that you are giving to the provinces, particularly SASA. That you know very well that, and when you do this presentation, at least in the way that assure this community that something is going to be done to improve even further. We actually looking forward to having a clean audit rather than an unqualified audit. You can raise the bar even higher. You know? So in those words, I'll give over to the Hollywood team.
Thank you, sir.
FDG, we are here. We are all here.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable member. We do have a chief executive, chief financial officer. He's just sick for today. So that's why the other colleague is coming in too. Otherwise, the chief financial officer is not an acting person.
That's good to hear.
Okay. Chairperson, we want to submit to this committee the annual report from 18-19 financial year.
So just before I think I made a commission, we do have apologies. People that you don't see yet, they send their written apologies. So you can continue. That's for the record.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, as we start this year, or as we end this year that we are reporting on, there was a lot of activities that are taking place that we were expected to do as we usher in exiting the fifth administration, were to usher in the sixth administration, and there were certain things that were expected from us as officials. So we had to play a role in making sure that there's a new that the sixth administration is introducing whilst we are closing the fifth administration. In doing so, Chair, during that period, we had to slow down on certain deliverables. Mr. Utelius, who is the one who's going to present the report, will indicate when he deals with Program 4 some of the areas that we had to slow down because of that transition that we need to do. The second thing, Chair, that I wanted to say is that as we enter the sixth administration, we had a meeting with our minister who wanted to understand how we work as the Department of Social Development and its entities. And from those deliberations, it was decided that together with the minister that from henceforth we will be working together in a portfolio approach. That is, everywhere we go, you'll see the three of us, that is DSD, SASA, and NDA. The third thing, Chair, that I wanted to say is that as we enter this sixth administration, the minister and the deputy minister introduced us to the portfolio committee and also to the select committee, because the chair of the select committee was part of the workshop that we had with the portfolio committee, where the chair of the select committee was present. And we have decided that as we move along and introducing the plans or implementing the plans for the sixth administration and exiting the fifth administration, we'll start looking towards the plans that we're concluding now up until March next year are based on outputs. And we're looking at making sure that they will be outcome based, and that whatever we will be reporting on, we're looking at the impact at the end to say what impact are we making to the communities that we serve. So those are the areas, Chair, that I felt that we need to elevate and share with the committee to say we're looking at working differently now, and we would take your criticism in terms of how we needed to be guided by this select committee, so that as we do our work, we move in a direction where we'll ultimately register relative impact to the communities we serve. With that, Chair, I would want to hand over to Tabani, who would present the annual report. Thank you, Tabani.
Honorable Chair, good morning, and all the members of the Select Committee and Deputy Chief for the introduction. We are here, Chairperson, and other members, to present as per the invitation how we have performed as a department in terms of the predetermined objectives that are part of our APP in the year that we have completed, which is the financial year 2018-2019. That will be part of my presentation, and I'll hand over then to my colleague on the right, Mr. Fanning, who will present then the agency for the expenditure based on those performances. I think this year had then created a context through which this presentation should need to be understood, and I don't think I need to dwell much on that, but to move towards the actual presentation. And of course, adding slightly to what he has said, we are the department that continues to try and make a difference, especially in terms of the provision of social protection. And a lot in terms of our performance that happened in the previous financial year. One was, if you look at the mid-year population estimates, so we had population that increased. We were about 58.78 million in terms of the numbers of this population. So the challenges as well in terms of the social ills continued to grow as we are delivering our services, but also coupled with that population increase, we also saw an increase in terms of unemployment by the end of the previous financial year, which is about 29%. And of course, as a department, we are expected then to play a very important role in terms of provision of the safety net and make sure that we expand our social assistance. But importantly as well, is for us to understand the role that we play as the department. We are largely a policy developing or a policy formation department. And of course, there are a few services that we provide directly, which includes the registration of NPOs, as well as the capacity building that we provide to NPOs and businesses that have. We do provide directly psychosocial support, as well as counseling services. Through such as programs such as gender-based violence common center that you have. But importantly, Chairperson, you must understand that as this department, the National Health, we have concurrent functions with our provincial counterparts. And unfortunately, provinces have got their own priorities as well as they are provinces. And there are issues in terms of capacity that is inconsistent or inequal when it comes to the provinces. But we are hoping that the new discipline development model that has been introduced by our president will be able to assist us in terms of addressing some of these particular issues. And also, last part is that there is work that we must do and a program that we must deliver, and working in collaboration with other government department institutions. If we look at what government needs to do in terms of responding to issues of victim empowerment or issues of gender-based violence, sexual abuse, foster care, it's not only us, but the DSD that need to deliver those services, but it requires the collaboration from other institutions. And for us to be able to do our part, it also requires them to have completed some of the work that was expected. Finally, as this department, we've been given another mammoth task as well to lead and coordinate the third priority among the seven priorities, as have been announced by our president, Joaquim Sona, in June, which is about the third priority on the consolidation of social wage through the livelihood and quality basic services. We are a department, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of our programs. We have five programs. Program one, which is administration. We've got program two, which is about social assistance, which is about provision of income support to vulnerable groups. We've got program three, which is about policy development in the space of social security, in terms of policy and administration. We've got program four, which is welfare services, and program five, which is on social policy and service delivery programs, which lastly also includes community development. I want to take the committee in terms of summarizing how we've performed, because as the DG has said, the previous financial year 18-19 was the last year of the fifth administration. So we want to take you back and see how from 2014-15 we have performed in terms of meeting our targets. You see over years from 2014-15, which is year one, to 18-19, we have tried to improve in terms of the number of targets that we have, because we have seen that once we have much more focused and limited number of targets, it means that you are able to improve our performance and we are able to improve in terms of the planning. As you can see, in 2014-18, in this graph, it shows that we had 67% and we had met 70% of our targets, which of course is on the basis that we had over 173 number of targets. But the more we limited the number of targets, the improvement it was in terms of our performance. So it means there was much more focused planning and improved performance when we reduced the number of targets. Not to say that it means this is all the work we should do, but it was for us to prioritize to say what are those things that are high level that need to be strategic in a PNLPP, and what are those issues that you need to take only to be in our operational plan. So there was an operational plan where we took care of some of the work that we do or reflected some of our activities. The chairperson had indicated in terms of our performance. Of course, as this department, we understand and take note of the opinion that we received in the previous financial year, especially on our finances, which was a qualified opinion. We will be presenting our action plan tomorrow to you before the portfolio committee, where we want to say what are the improvements, what are the plans for us to improve in terms of the findings that have had. But in terms of the performance information, we are the department that for the past 7 years, we have received no material findings in terms of our how the AGF affect us in terms of the usefulness as well as the reliability of the performance information that you have provided. I'll be moving now straight to each program and really, really unpack how, which are those targets that you have met and where challenges there are and what is it that you will be able to do. Starting with program one, we as a department, we still wanted to continue to play a significant role in terms of promotion of the foreign policy. We had a target in the previous financial year of facilitating 8 engagements on the international front, and this was met, not only about 8, but we had quite a number of those that we happened and vary in terms of that we had to south-to-south cooperation in terms of the BRICS, we played a role. We made sure that we are an active member that serves the secretary on the Partners of Population and Development, the PPD. We participated in UN commissions for social development and various conferences and in terms of the third party. So we're able to make sure that we are able to support the adoption and important international resolution that seeks to promote and protect the rights of persons with disability and youth as well as and the older persons as well as children. That is regarding the international relations in terms of how we participate. Internal as well, in terms of the IT, one of the work that we wanted to do was to establish a nationally integrated social information system. Of course, this was not fully met. We could not develop it fully, but there's work that we need to acknowledge and recognize that it was done towards this. Because at the heart of this is about us assisting internalization of the country's strategy, provide in terms of the government providing an online or the e-government system. And what we were able to do in the period of that review was for us as department to develop the integrated case management system. And it assists us with social development to track and report on social cases from catering as well as up to the level where we provide the services across the social sector. So we have that social system, we have integrated the case management system. So we are able to see each case in terms of what is it that you are able to track in terms of report, but also the service provided against it. What, in the terms of the monitoring evaluation, we had a target to do an evaluation on the Migonzo project, and this was done, and at heart of this is for us, as DTG has said, that you've got this approval approach, and we believe this also began to bring a case for this approach, a portfolio approach, so that you are able to visualize it across sector cooperation, and which is essential for success in terms of integrated development approach for service delivery. We also was able to use this evaluation to strengthen the approach that has been led by our president in terms of the work-based, as I said, industry development model, as it has been launched by our president. On the financial side, I did indicate that although we have received a qualified opinion, we will be, as I said, presenting before the profile committee in terms of the action plan in terms of how do we want to improve our performance, but I did indicate that we are able to receive enormous findings in terms of some of what we do. But other processes are much more internal that we are able to analyze by the end of the financial year all our expenditure trends and monitor the financial compliance to ensure that there are appropriate funds and that we spend in line with the departmental mandate. But also, we're able to make sure, because much of the work that we do, which I will explain under Project 2, is about the transfer of funds, which are about the payment of social grants, and we saw the increase from 151 to about 152 billion, which we're able to transfer as a department. This is where I'm going. So you could see that we are able to transfer these funds. This is Program 2, with the decision about the transfer of this one in terms of dealing with these issues. And you note that the target sometimes is not fully met. For example, in both these, which is the war for talent grant, as well as the number of social relief of the strike grants that we award. And you note that on the SRD, this is much more demand-driven, and it depends more on the qualifying criteria. Where it's not much easier to target. We thought we'd have 252, but you ended up awarding about over 440,000. And on the World for Talent Grant, this is not actively pursued, and its protection depends on the person's life. So when we lose some of these people that qualify for these grants, so the number then decreases. Moving to Program 3, which is Social Security Policy Reform. Chairperson, we must say that we continue to make efforts towards the development of a comprehensive social security system. And part of the work that we've been doing has been the number of activities that we've built towards that. This includes a discussion paper on the review of the SASA. This was done. And having delivered this, we developed this discussion paper, and we were able to establish a cross-functional developmental team that then reviews the SASA Act. And we believe with this paper we'll be able to identify gaps and make recommendations in terms of the improvements of the governance of the agency, and this will be consulted and finalized in the current financial year, which is 2019-2020. Still in pursuit of a comprehensive social security system, as a department, we were able to finalize a discussion paper on the utilization of the child support grant, which clearly recommended the removal of the means test in regards to this particular grant. But also, Chair, we must report on some of the progress that need to be noted and applauded, which relates to the engagements that we continue to do as a department in terms of engaging our social partners, the NECLEC, and because there's been a consensus there in terms of us having one to establish a national social security fund, and in terms of what should be additional arrangements that are in place, what should be the governance and regulatory framework that you need to have. And this is a very important milestone because it will make sure that we are able to complete this very, very complex work. And we'll make sure that at the end of the day, we have a comprehensive social security system that is affordable, that is separately inclusive, that is sustainable and appropriate for all South African citizens. That is also in line with the National Development Plan or the Vision 2010 that we have in the country. Moving to Program 4, which is welfare services. From the beginning of the MTSF 2014-15, one of the key ambitions for us was to reform the social welfare. And part of that key work that we had to do was on the white paper, because we remember that it's only been the 1997 white paper that has been informing most of the work that we do. And we believe by reviewing the white paper, this is one of the things that we're able to deliver. But also, after the review of the white paper, we want to finalize and have it approved by cabinet. But this has not been fully met, but it's work that still continues and is in progress. And it's one of the important work because we believe, and because this white paper is envisaged to reposition us as this department towards achieving our development agenda as envisaged by this state administration as well. On professional social services, one of the work was to do was to develop an implementation plan, and this was done, and this has been approved, and the implementation with other key stakeholders was being realized in the process under review. We also wanted to submit a bill to FOSAT, and the FOSAT approved this bill and it supported it to be submitted to cabinet. The bill is about the South African Council for Social Service Professionals. Also, regarding the social service in terms of the retention strategy that we have for social service professionals, we were able to commence with the implementation of the recruitment and retention strategy for social service professionals. This is done in order to respond specifically to the needs of the practitioners, such as the poor working conditions, inadequate office space, or the office tools. We wanted also to make sure that as we do this retention strategy, we are able to review and recreate their salary packages, poor office infrastructure, and so forth. And we'll continue to monitor that particular strategy at this department, and in order to minimize and respond to some of the labor issues and arrest that we have experienced over some years. With regards to the other persons, one of the key targets that you had for the previous financial year was for us to conduct the other persons parliament as well as the active action program. And indeed, this program was hosted in 2018 in Free State, and you recall this year it was hosted in PE, also in October, usually in October. So we were able to implement in the previous financial year the active aging program. And the active aging program is just not only about the parliament, but it also involves the capacity building program. It's about the South African Older Persons Forum. It is their AGM. It's also, we have the choir festival. We also have the Golden Games that are characterized that particular week on active aging that we celebrate our older persons. Also within this function, what we wanted to do as a department was for us to finalize the implementation evaluation of the Older Persons Act, and the report indeed was completed as we ended the financial year. On ECD, one of our targets that we had was to monitor implementation of the National Integrated Medicine Plan on the ECD, and indeed this was realized, and we were able to monitor it. But what is important is that, Chairperson, we were able through this to have three structures. which number one is the IMC on the EC, on this work, is also the National Developmental Committee and the intersectoral. These three forums are put in place because they are the ones that are able to assist us in terms of coordinating the implementation of this particular policy. And these three structures are very key in ensuring that we are able to implement the different goals that are espoused in the ECD policy. So the focus during the previous financial year on the ones about strengthening these structures and to assist the implementation of the ECD policy. Regarding the National Plan of Action for Children in South Africa, by 2018-2022, we're able to make sure that it is done. There were recommendations that were received from the JC PS cluster, which were about having this submitted to cabinet for approval. However, the plan, I must say, that is being held back to ensure that the targets are aligned to those of the system situation. So when we entered the previous financial year, we had not moved very fast because we wanted to make sure that the targets are aligned to those of the system situation before we submit it, and this will be done in the current financial year, and we'll be able to present the chapters into cabinet. Regarding the submission of the child care and protection policy to cabinet for approval, this was not submitted. It's one of those areas that the DG has spoken about, that mainly in program 4, which have mainly to do with cabinet and parliamentary processes as we ended the fifth administration. So those are some of the areas that we couldn't complete, and because of the reprocession within the cabinet processes. However, that was not done, but however, the policy tries to define the three main package of services across in terms of the work we should do. One is about comprehensive package of promoting child care development program and services. Secondly, is about targeted preventive and early intervention program and services for children vulnerable and families exposed to risk factors. And finally, is about quality responsive protective services and program for children who are in need of care and protection against all forms of violence, abuse, neglect, as well as exploitation. So this policy has been presented to the Social Protection and Human Development cluster, which is that is approved, that we do submit it to cabinet for their approval. In terms of Department of Social Development monitoring the implementation of the Child Act, this target was fully met, and we were able to address the existing gap in terms of the child care protection system, as well as legislation and department development. And the bill identifies several strategies to efficiently and effectively address this existing gap. So we were able to submit this to cabinet for their approval, and we were granted, the cabinet granted us that this bill be submitted to parliament, and this will be considered by parliament in the current financial year, which is 2019-2020. Moving to services for families, as this department at the beginning of the financial year, we had committed ourselves to build capacity of the 9 provinces on active parenting program. Indeed, the target was fully met. We were able to build capacity in all the 9 provinces. And the purpose of this particular workshop was about building capacity of the provinces to be able to render direct services to teenage parents and as well as to empower program implementers with kids so that they are able to assist the teenage parents to rebuild their dreams after becoming parents at an early age. With regard to social crime as well as victim empowerment program, this department as well had committed itself to build capacity of all the 9 provinces so that they are able to implement the review policy framework on accreditation of diversion. And indeed, all provinces were built capacity, and also we were able as this department to conduct awareness campaign in all the provinces. And these awareness campaigns are aimed at raising awareness and educating all the communities on dangers of crime, as well as reaching out to schools on challenges regarding bullying, as well as gangsters. So a total of about 8,000 young people were reached through these particular awareness campaigns. And we are here to report, Chairperson, that we are able as well to target to we're able at the department to undertake the road shows that covers the provinces on the approved policy, and we're able to build capacity on targeted members of attraction structures who include officials from other government departments, which also includes civil society organizations, members, as well as members of academic institutions. With regard to the department's commitment in terms of submitting the review of South African Integrated Program of Action that addresses the gender-based violence to cabinet for approval, this has not been submitted to cabinet for approval. However, the department embarked on the process in terms of reviewing the program of action, and the review consisted resulted in the development of a draft framework for the review program of action. This was done in consultation with key stakeholders. We're able to review our interventions that we put, we're able to develop a theory of change, we're able to come up with new indicators to make sure that we are effective in reporting and implementation of our program of action. However, the department has what I indicated earlier, which is a gender-based violence command center. We're able to, as a department, to provide comprehensive and integrated services to victims of gender-based violence. We have seen the number increasing during the period under review. A total of about 120,007 calls were received, with 9,005 please call me received messages, and we also received 582 SMSs in our gender-based violence common center. In terms of our department response to anti-substance abuse, we had made a commitment before the committee that we want to submit the draft anti-substance abuse policy to FOSAT, as well as the social protection cluster for approval. And we did obtain approval from the JPS as well as the social protection cluster. And in terms of this policy, Chairperson, we have this policy because it seeks to respond to gaps in the prevention and treatment for substance abuse and the challenges that are faced with faced by the social development sector. The bill indeed was consulted with various stakeholders. This is those that are working the field of substance abuse, and they will be submitting it in the current financial year 2019-2020 for approval by our cabinet. With regard to submission of the National Drug Master Plan to cabinet for approval, this work by the end of the previous financial year 18-19, which is the period that we have not been completed, but we are glad to say to the Chairperson and the committee that this has been completed in the current financial year, and I'm sure as we are invited to come and present, we will share those news in terms of it being having been approved in the current financial year. Our department, we are also have a responsibility to develop an integrated plan of action of plan to respond to the social and social rights drivers of HIV, TB, as well as STI. And we continue to implement those programs, which are largely aimed at reducing the risk of sexual behaviors among young men as well as women. So in partnership with SANAC, this department, we're able to have national, in partnership with SANAC, we're able to appoint 50 national NPOs that are assisting us in terms of implementing social behavior change programs. These include YOLO, which is the You Only Live Once program, Families Matter program, Men Championing Change, Kimoja, as well as the community capacity enhancement. Through this partnership, we as a department were able to appoint 595 unemployed social service professionals, and these include social workers, social auxiliary workers, in terms of them being able to implement some of these particular programs. And we are here to report about Chairperson that in addition to this, in the period of the review, we were able to appoint 44 traditional leaders that were trained on a program which is called the Rock Leadership Champion, and this is about to champion the HIV prevention interventions in their communities. We were able to also ensure that the provision of services to obviously and in dropping centers and safe parks, and this included provision of food to children. regarding the right of persons with disability in terms of our intervention, we are able to revise the transport and social services, on social development services to place the place in order to align it with the white paper for social development on the white paper on rights of persons with disabilities. We participated in many of activities, especially at the UN level with regard to the rights of persons with disabilities. There were areas where like in August 2018, we played a role there, and we able as a department as well to come up with an English user-friendly version on the white paper on the rights of persons with disabilities, which is about advocating that particular work. The last program then, Chairperson, is Program 5, which is social policy and integrated development. One of the key areas of work that we do is regarding the expanded public works, where we as a department have the responsibility to develop the fourth phase of the social sector plan through the PWP. The 1819, the previous year, what is important about it was the concluding year of the phase three, and we had not fully met our target. At the beginning, we thought that this sector would over 1 million of job opportunities, of work opportunities was created, but what we actually achieved was about 156, which are less than that, but however, it's about 82% of those opportunities that we get committed to create. However, by the fourth phase, as we were not having that opportunity to develop it, our target is there, and it's over 800,000 of those that we need to create 775,754 work opportunities. With regard to population and development, we, through our population unit that is within our department, we continue to facilitate, monitor, and build capacity for the implementation of the population policy. And a citizen's report on the population policy last 25 was completed. The DG had indicated in terms of his apologizing on behalf of the minister who's participating also in the ICDP, which is the International Conference on Population Development 25, which is currently taking place in Nairobi. We are presenting a report towards that front, and our minister is representing, is participating in that particular conference. The last two areas of work, as I did indicate at the beginning, that is one of the services that we provide directly, which is about the registration of non-profit organization and the department. By the end of the financial year 2018-19, in our records or in our database, we have a total of over 220,000 NPOs that are registered. And in the period that I'm reporting, which is the previous financial year, we were able to register 33,096 non-profit organizations that provide services in various forms and they exist in different provinces. One of the work that we could not fully achieve, Chairperson, is about the NPO Amendment Bill and the way work, we could not complete this particular work, and this work that we continue to do and make sure that it is finalized. Because we couldn't submit it to Parliament because of the delay in terms of finalization of the phase two of the CS process. In addition to this, as a department, we continue to do an NPO roadshows. We launched a campaign as well to make sure that we build capacity of our non-profit organizations so that they are able to comply with our NPO Act and be able to report, and so that we continue to make a difference and work in partnership with our government department. On community development and poverty alleviation work, we as a department continue to facilitate the community development practice policy, and we were able to establish community development forums, and in the period under review, a total of 475 cities in all provinces received training on consumer protection and empowerment guidelines, and this is about making sure that they are able to understand the consumer protection process and in all circumstances that affect our communities, would be either in areas of disaster as well as how they plan for their work. On youth mobilization as well, we had a target of 1,800 young people that we wanted to train and make sure that they attend our youth camps. And we are giving you the breakdown. This was overachieved as more than 2,500 young people participated in our camps. They come from different provinces. And this platform, this youth camp serves as a platform for us as a department and government, and in together with our partners to empower young people with and develop them and issues such as make sure they've got positive values. We are able to expose them to preventative programs against social ills. We are able to expose them to opportunities for growth and be able to become their agents of change, not for themselves, but also in the communities where they come from. We are able to link 678 cooperatives to economic opportunities, and this includes opportunities such as about sewing, so that these cooperatives are able to supply school uniforms, they are able to produce food, and we have established as well as through the community nutrition and development center that we have set up for this. And in the current financial year, one of our targets is to make sure that these cooperatives are trained and well acquainted with the supply chain management processes so that we make sure that they are able to comply as well. That is where the narrative presentation ends, Chairperson. And I will now hand over to you, to my colleague, the CFO, represented by Mr. Fadi, to give us the explanation on the finances. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Okay, so for the prior financial year, we only have a 0.2% deviation on our budget allocation. The budget was 172 billion and we spent 104.5 billion. So if we go to the next slide, we will see what is the different variations for the different programs, and we'll come to the reasons for the underspending in the slides thereafter. So essentially, program one has a 92% spending with a 50 million underspending. Our social grants had an estimated underspend by 50 million. Social security was a 36 million underspending, welfare services 22, and social policy 1.9 of it. This is basically what the DG said in his opening remark, that the market has slowed down in the last 6 months of the financial year in terms of the change from the administration from the 50 to 6, so we've slowed down the expenditure without compromising our targets. So if we want to look at the different reasons for program one on all different programs, under program one, we signed a contract with CETA in 2017 to do a full turnkey infrastructure solution for us. And then we went into some challenges in the previous financial year with CETA. We also had issues with our building, our office accommodation. They couldn't really implement some of the infrastructure. So with the advances that we gave them in the 2017, they were unable to spend the full amount, and we couldn't process the second payment in the previous financial year. That's why there's a 30 million saving the prior financial year, because we upfront said we will advance them with 50 million each financial year, and last year we couldn't do that because of the challenges with the new problem. Social grants, 99% spending. The allocation is always in a projection for the full financial year, so we will never get it 100% spending. There's always working people that come to apply for a grant, people that permanent terms of the grants, we will never have a 100% spending in terms of social grants. That's why we had 150 million underspending in the prior financial year. Under social security, there's a 98% spending. Part of this specific program is the establishment of the inspectorates. We've received funding from Treasury side for this establishment of the inspectorates. But because the socialist amendment bill could not be passed in cabinet in the prior financial year, nothing could move in terms of the establishment of the inspectorate. Under welfare services, as the VP said, we've slowed down in some of our events, our campaigns that we do across the country. Instead of inviting a lot of people, we've scaled down the numbers. We've also scaled down some of the events, and that's why we have a saving program for welfare services. There was also an issue in our transfer payments. We annually pay to our NGOs in the sum of about 120 million. Some of the NGOs wasn't financially compliant, so we had to withhold some of the funding for that purpose and not pay the full amount in the previous financial year. And then on program 5, this is very insufficient, but a very small amount, 1.9 million, that's operational. If one looked in our economic classification, one could see we're fairly on track in terms of our COE or compensation. We only have a 10 million, and we all know about the vacancies that we currently have in the department, and that directly translates to the amount that we were unspent in the prior financial year. Our goods and services, the 63, part of that is the 30 million that goes to the turnkey solution. The other 30 million goes to the inspectorate, but also the underspending on our events in welfare services. If I look at our transfer payments, our foreign is only 1.5. It's mostly influenced by exchange rates that we have to pay to foreign countries. So it all depends on what the exchange rate of the day is, that influences the amount that we need to transfer. Our NPOs is 12 million underspending, and as I've said, there's some of the NGOs that there wasn't fully compliant in the prior financial year, so we've lost those funding. And our results is that for the social grants. CAPEX, we've refreshed most of our IT equipment 2 years ago, so that's why we had a saving of about 3 million in total. So in total for the department for the prior financial year, it was 240 million underspending. As I already explained, the goods and services portion, the 84% spending, I've mentioned the 30 million, the CETA issue that we have on the social security, they want to see what is the amount that was allocated for the establishment of the inspectorate, about 57 million. The bill is not passed, so most of that funding was unused at the prior financial. There's our subsidies, our transfers that I've spoken about, the HIV and AIDS. There's the 10 million that we still owe for SANEC, which is payable in this financial year. And our small NGOs, there's 3 of them that was not compliant in terms of the second transfer we need to do. And then households is mainly on the grants. Jefferson, I'm not sure whether I should go into detail with different programs. It's just giving the basic what each program has spent, but the reasons remain the same. I'll be guided by you if you need to go into detail for the different programs.
Sure. I would say no, you can skip that.
But then I'll give you the Jefferson. Thank you.
Thanks, are there additions from your delegation that was in the absence of when I give over to the members then to inherit them? But or did you want to say something?
No, Chair, I'm saying that we'll wait for question.
Okay. I must first declare a conflict of interest in one question that I'll be asking. So that it's on record. Is this thing pertaining to military veterans? I saw somewhere where you that would mean something for them. I just want to know what would that be. And if there are some details, maybe they could even be given, you know, like those who are interested to have them, or just have it in writing if there's no time to explain, or you don't even have that information now with you. And then there's something that worries me, and the supply chain management. That it seems like you are not doing things the way they are supposed to be done by the rules. And the rules are determined. I think we all know how the supply chain management thing works. And the issues of irregular, wasteful, and fruitless expenditure, those are very, they are not very palatable really, or concepts. So I would definitely want to know, you know, like, know more about them. And even the preparation of your financial documents, reports, it seems like they are not, according to the AG, they did not follow the format. The reporting format is, I think it's somewhere in the PFMP or something like that. If I can be corrected if it's not there, but it should be. But I think it is in the financial reporting framework, it is in the PFMP. Yeah, so that the reports, when you send them to the AG, they were not in line with the, they did not follow. There is something again where you talk about higher education. I would want to know what it is that you are doing for higher education. Thank you. So over to you, Honorable Baha.
Thank you, Chair.
Good morning,
there's nothing frustrating than being covered when you want to ask your questions. Chairperson, I have a few issues that I want to raise, and I hope that you will bear with me in that regard. Firstly, the minister thinks she took over. She's been putting more emphasis on the various segments of her department not working in silos, namely DSD, SASA, and MDA together. And she's been emphasizing that if you follow interviews that she undertakes, that's one of the things that she emphasizes. Now, I want to check from the department whether you're beginning to see positives out of that. Do you think you are working better in that fashion in terms of providing essential services to the masses of our country? The second one is there was mention of inconsistent capacity in terms of provinces. And I want to check as to, I understand that there was an indication that there will be a meeting with the portfolio committee tomorrow, I think, where you will then be presenting as to how you are going to deal with various elements of your performance report and stuff. But I think it's important for our benefit as this committee as well to get a sense of, because we've noted that in most instances, national departments are able to do well, but are pulled down by provinces in terms of their performance. And if there's this inconsistent capacity from provinces, how is the department addressing it to ensure that there's uniformity in terms of performance within the national department and the provinces in general? On a positive, I did see the older persons in PE, I think 2 weeks ago or so, where there were things and people were participating and the minister was there. I thought it was a good initiative that the department embarked on. What I also want to check, Chairperson, is in terms of violence in our schools, substance abuse, as to what partnerships, if there are any, that the department is embarking on in ensuring that we fight the scourge of violence in our schools and substance abuse. which I think has led somewhat to pupils or learners dying in certain schools or killing each other. What initiatives are we embarking on in that regard? The other one, Chairperson, is around people living with disabilities. I did not see much in terms of the report and indication of what the department is doing in terms of ensuring accessibility infrastructurally in terms of government departments, in terms of access to services, so that the people living with disabilities are kind of integrated into society. They don't see themselves as different. They don't see themselves as people who are not cared for or looked after. What program is there? Because I know that in some government departments, people with disabilities are unable to gain access to government departments, which is something that I think probably lies within DSD, maybe in partnership with other departments. I'm not sure, but I think specifically I would want to know what is in place in trying to address that particular issue. The second last chapter thing is that in terms of youth policy, for me it's fine to have a program that is accessed by different provinces in terms of youth participating and so on. But you will know that unemployment rose to 29%, I think sometime last week, and also more than 50% of those are youth, are young people that are unemployed. Now, what is the success rate of your program? Because I know one of its objectives is to upskill young people, give them a sense of employability. Are you able to measure your success in terms of qualitative outcomes as opposed to just numbers of people that are accessing the program? How are we doing in that regard? I think, Chair, you've mentioned the fruitless expenditure, but I want to raise the one last issue on the social protection policy, because I think some of the ills in our society rely heavily in our policies that we have in place and the implementation thereof. Because for me, I think to have good policies and yet not implemented to the latter, it defeats the purpose. Are we in a position to expedite policies that are before cabinet for approval to ensure that those are dealt with expediently, so that we are then able to create a safe environment, be it for youth or children, or all people of our society who are vulnerable? Chairman, those are the few questions that I had. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Baha. Honorable Christian. She's out of the police of
color. Thank you, Chairperson. And as my colleague said, I'm mostly covered. So Kudit, you can go first. So I'm not going to repeat what he has said. I just have a few, maybe you can just highlight for me just a few things. The ECD policy. I see that some progress has been made, but the questions on our lips still remain. When will the implementation be, and when will the migration to basic education take place? How far are you from that, from actually achieving that? Then I see that there's a center that victims of gender-based violence can contact, and I see that there were remarkable strides made there with 120,000 calls that were being made, which I think is magnificent. But my question is, what happens when they call? What? How do you monitor whether those crises have been solved? I would like to know that because there's no use someone calling, but there's no assistance or follow-up after that. Something that has been concerning me for quite some time, and which I think I have raised previously, are NPOs. Now, we know that diseases are on the increase. HIV/AIDS is still not remarkably reduced. How are you monitoring and tracking the money that you are allocating to NPOs in the sense of how successful are they in rolling out their programs and actually reaching the people that they need to reach and educating those people? And then I have a concern which maybe you can just elaborate for me a little bit, which is not for this finance period but for the next one, that I see that you are intending to reduce your budget for HPV for our young girls, and I want to know how true that is and why you are doing that. Is it because the program was not successfully implemented, or is it because you think that the money that you have actually allocated is sufficient? That could maybe be, if you don't have the direct answer today, maybe you can answer me in a letter or something. That will also be okay. And then my concern is obviously all the policies we have, which is absolutely fantastic, but the actual implementation of those policies, which includes the EPD, our gender-based violence policy, which is child control. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
You're welcome.
I did not raise my hand, but it's fine. Thank you. And we welcome that the presentation by the department. But mine is around, and thank you, Honorable Baka, for covering us. You did great. But you must leave some questions for us in the future. But mine is based on gender-based violence. I think we are talking about it, but I don't think that we are really going deep, especially in schools, because it's not just happening in homes, it's also happening in schools, and there's a bit of it that's trending. You know, I've been trying to find out where it's happening, where a school child is hitting another one, a boy hitting a kid, even when she was down, he kept on hitting her and is disturbing. So I'm thinking that we are not really, you know, that deep, especially with our kids, teaching them about it and warning them and you know, all this awareness. So I want to know whether there is a partnership with Department of Education in teaching our kids, especially on this one. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Well, in number, we're going to song one song. Let's sing one song. Baha, Baha, next time you go to be the last.
Thank you.
Okay, I've got only one question, Chair. Can the department give us the reasons? Maybe they give us the reasons, maybe I didn't catch that. But if they have given the reasons, my spare on me. The reasons for today of the organizational structure. Because they reported that they delayed the organizational structure, but I didn't hear that reason. I'm sorry for that. Thank you, Chair.
DG and your team, if there are follow-up questions, we will take follow-up questions.
Thank you, Chair. I will, the question on FCM, then we'll deal with it, and finally we'll deal with the issue of preparation of financial documents. There's an issue around higher education, I think Kabane can deal with that. What are we doing? What's the relationship there?
deal with portfolio approach. Inconsistent capacity in terms of provinces. I think Colin could speak on that one. And active aging and gender-based violence, that will all be Colin. I'll deal with people with disabilities. Peter will deal with youth policy. Brenda will deal with social protection policy. Colin will deal with ECD policy. Peter will deal with NPOs. Delay of organizational structure. I'll deal with that. Chair, maybe let me say that the issue around persons with disabilities, we don't say persons living, the chair, we say persons with disabilities, and the disability movement is using disabled people. With regards to this, chair, you would recall that there's been an announcement by President of moving the function from the Department of Social Development to the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities. We are currently in the process of processing that, and that so that everything starts by the end, by the beginning of April 2020. However, you would have noticed that the minister, together with the unit that deals with services to persons with disability, social services to persons with disabilities, that we're working with, for instance, targeting people with albinism, because there's been a lot of killing that has taken place and a lot of children getting missing on their way from school. And there was an awareness drive that our deputy minister was involved in. We're also working with province of Limpopo and Free State and Eastern Cape to look at piloting mainstreaming of activities of disabled people into the programs that are there, whether it's DEP or ECD. So this is the kind of work that we're doing. Also making sure that in terms of access, we have trained officials in the Department of Social Development and in other departments in terms of making sure that they know how to measure access that would accommodate persons with disabilities. So the next one was the issue around the organogram. We have had now the opportunity, as I explained earlier and the other colleagues explained, that we are in a situation where we had to prepare and develop our strategic plan for the next 5 years. And in doing so, we now have identified a service provider within the, within Treasury that would work with us in developing the the organogram. We have had an interim organogram now because we are moving the function of persons with disabilities to the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. So we have it now an interim organogram that would use in terms of making sure that we then review the whole organogram between now and the next, at the end of this financial year. That work is ongoing. Maybe let me allow Jen to talk to the one of the you want to talk to the one that I've said?
Okay. No, no. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honourable Chair. You missed the first question where the chairperson declared his interest.
Conflict of interest. Sorry, Chair.
Conflict of interest in terms of the military veterans. We can commit ourselves to submit a written report in terms of our intervention as far as that problem is concerned. But it's safe to say that, Honorable Chair, that as the department, there is a lot that we've done as far as our programs with the military veterans themselves. I think the act, of 2018 assisted us to actually ensure that our programs are aligned in terms of the needs of the military veterans. We developed and came up with a memorandum of our understanding with the Department of Military Veterans in terms of what it is that we can deliver as the Department of Social Development. We worked with our entities like SASA in identifying the military veterans in different areas where we even offered some work opportunities for them in order to ensure that they are covered because of those that are experiencing some challenges. So there's a lot that we've done. Currently, we are in the process of reviewing the MOU because it has now expired. And we're trying to encourage the team to come up with the recommendations so that the two DGs then enter into a formal MOU. But Chairperson, we can commit as the department that we'll give you a written report in terms of our intervention. Thank you.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, Chairperson. The issue around the supply chain management process, I think that we comply with the Public Finance Management Act and its regulations. So we have to adhere to all those principles issued by the National Treasury. However, the issue around the policy itself, the updating of the supply chain management policy, which is currently being reviewed, obviously will be because of the latest regulation that National Treasury issue from time to time. These amendments need to be incorporated into the department's policy so that it's updated in line with the legislation and the regulation from Treasury. But that's what but we do comply with the principles of National Treasury regarding the supply chain processes. With regard to irregular expenditure, I think it stems from the non-compliance of legislation, for example, with the promotion of local content. Like, for example, when you promotional material, those were reports were regarded as irregular because we didn't put certain requirements when we went out on tender or quotation to force only local suppliers not be considered. Similarly, the preferential procurement...
I'm afraid that I'm going to end up losing this point. Are you saying that the AG is not right when it says that you're not following the...
They are right, yes.
And then what are you going to do about it? Remember there was even a question about what action was taken against those who cost the settlement. They say 7 point something million man that that was detected as wasteful. And then there's a recommendation from the agency to our regional report. So and what progress have we made? What have we done with that recommendation of action that needs to be taken?
We reported all those cases to the Loss Control Committee, the Financial Misconduct Committee, to investigate those cases that the AG raised. And also other cases we picked up apart from what AG raised in the financial year, so that we have the full sample for all the irregular expenditure, which is updated the register as well. So those cases are now being investigated and will be tabled in front of the Loss Control Committee for consideration and recommendation to the DG to take appropriate action based on the investigation and the recommendation from the Financial Misconduct Committee. That's currently where the cases are lying at the moment. It's regarding your irregular as well as your process and your procedure. Those two categories are aligned with the Loss Control.
I think in terms of our preparations for the financials, might confirm with the office so we submit on a quarterly basis our financials. We use the National Treasury Framework, all departments comply with the National Treasury Framework for the preparation of the financial statements. As far as we know, there are no issues currently that we had from the AG's office in terms of our quarterly report being called out financial. So we have submitted end of June, end of September, so end of December, and then our big one was the end of June month. So I'm not aware of any misalignment in terms of the reporting framework from the AG's office.
That is what Ray said, I think maybe. Okay, no, we'll make a follow-up on that one and to show you where the AG said it's going to be.
So we want to commit that because we are expected tomorrow to present to the portfolio committee with regards to the AG's findings. There's a list of them. So if it's fine with the committee, we can invite them also so that we update you in terms of how we are trusting those details, because we are investigating those that we feel require that, and then we are subjecting them to the process of so we will meet the select committee, which requires the country and update you in terms of progress with regards to all validations that
what I hear is that from what she said is that they don't do that in the anything after the next disaster. And then that they will make a referendum. I think we'll have to check more than the public comments and so on and say what. And we probably do the portfolio to look at what they are. But also so that there's no condition that there is not for the portfolio. And I want to go ask. If you present it before us, I think that would be the good presentation to the next level. What are the things we need to do and focus on?
No, thank you.
Are there further additions?
We want to have a question.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I would raise away, I think, three main questions. I think the whole assessment was just a comment in terms of our progress. The thing starts with violence in schools and issues of fasting abuse. What is the role of social development in the partnerships that we have in dealing with it? I will start with the issue of substance abuse. Structurally, there are coordination mechanisms that may require to be strengthened to be able to make sure that we deliver on this. The National Drug Master Plan that we also spoke about is a plan for the country in terms of dealing with substance abuse. At the national level, we have what we call a Central Drug Authority, which is a structure comprising of all government departments that are key, including your police, your HOP, your NPA, your SAR, you name them, to be able to coordinate and ensure that the initial drug master plan is implemented and we report annually to parliament. At the provincial level, you find the provincial substance abuse forums, and at the local level, the local drug action committee. In all provinces, we do have the 9 provincial forums that operate at different levels in terms of capacity. That's why I'm saying they need to be strengthened, including the local drug action committee, so that we can deal with this sketch. For DSD specifically, our responsibility is more on the prevention and treatment of substance abuse, following the 3 main strategies of the country, which is the demand supply reduction. Supply reduction is more the law enforcement part, but the demand reduction is when now we deal with the prevention. And we have since realized that prevention basically must speak to also issues of parenting and family strengthening. Because we believe that by the time the kids go to school, already there's something wrong that is happening in the home, or there's a gap in terms of support that is required within the home, and then at the school now,
more the intervention that say while they are learning what type of problems can be implemented. So we're working also with DBT as part of the structures that are indicated to make sure that we deal with it. But we are still the peak in the recent time. Because there are a lot of children that are really involved in violence. So we also have been the social behavior change program that we are beginning to say, let's talk to boys and let's talk to men in terms of being absent in the children's life so that they can be able to assist these children as they grow. Now, in terms of the violence, I've tried also to say that there's a linkage between substance abuse and also the violence that is happening in schools, but also the HIV/AIDS epidemic. In terms of violence, okay, there are also structures. Honorable members, you will remember that there's an interim standing committee that the president has put in place, which is also leading the implementation of the emergency plan that the president has pronounced. But this committee is also consisting of all departments, including DBT, higher education, social development, women, justice, and police, and so on. The committee is also coming up with a national strategic plan that will precisely deal with the issue of violence in the medium and the long term. But the emergency plan is now, within now, between now and March. So social development in that space is responsible for ensuring that we implement the very same social behavior change program, but also to protect the victims and children because of the Children's Act that we have in terms of making sure that it's implemented. So those are the key partnerships that we are having, and I believe that substance abuse and violence prevention requires multi-sectoral approach. One department or one organization may not deal with it. So we're also working with civil society organizations that are out there in the community in providing services. In terms of linking that with gender-based violence command center, which one honorable member also asked, to say what happens now when they receive the call. This is the command center is more of a program. It is manned by 44 social workers, which we have appointed. They provide online counseling. And what happens is that they receive the calls and the SMSs and the please call me. They provide you with the counseling you need and the information you need. And they are able to geolocate you. If you are calling from any other area, even if you are calling from Parliament, they will be able to locate where you are. Then they will tell you what police station is closest to you, what shelters are closest to you, what other services are close to you. And when there's a danger, they are able to see, or even to be told by the person who's calling, they are able to link with 10111 so that the police can also intervene. There's a direct interface with the line 10111. But also what is important is that there are backline supervisors, we call them back office, where they quality assure the calls that are coming and making sure that the social workers are providing the much needed services, but also to monitor each and every call that is coming. Because there are calls that require further intervention or cases that require further follow-up. There are also district social workers that have been given the gadget, because this is a sophisticated technology that is being used in the command center. We're working in partnership with Vodacom. So the social workers in the district, there are a few of them that have been given gadgets to be able to follow up on the cases that will be referred to them. So the cases are not closed at the command center until they get a report from the district to confirm that the service has been rendered and the case has been closed, or where the client has been referred to, or where the client is getting a fair assessment. So that's how basically the command center operates. We can do more, we can improve in that, but that's what is currently happening in the command center. On the ECD question, there was a question around ECD policy, when are we implementing it? I think in the report, we're indicating that we are having structures that we have put in place, but what is important is that it is implemented by 24 departments, ECD policy, and currently coordinated by social development. Hence the question, when is the migration taking place to ECD?
the policy is also proposing a comprehensive package of policies that emphasize the first 1,000 days, which is also implemented by various government departments, which health is very key in the first 1,000 days of life of the child. So there are programs that are put in place. I may also indicate that if honorable members of prior, we may want to come present a whole ECD program as to how far are we, how are we implementing it, because I may not do justice today by trying to answer the question fully. But I think we can come and present in terms of what Home Affairs has done in terms of making sure that every child has got a birth certificate within a period of months, so that what the 1,000 days is saying. What is it that health is doing in terms of monitoring the pregnant mother before the child is born? And when the child is born, what is happening? When the 2 years come, how is social development intervening in terms of making sure that child protection and also the stimulation in the care is happening at those facilities that are there? And how is the funding that we give to them is being used? The challenging thing is to increase reach, because with ECD, once you meet the child in that stage, you will never go back and recover. That child will pass the stage. So I think we are still missing, because the population of children is more than what we are reaching now. So I think we need to employ some extraordinary measures as government collectively to make sure that it is universal in terms of access. And also the policy is proposing a public good by 2020. So this is what we continue to strive to, because in 2030 we should be having a concept of ECD that says if you don't pay, it doesn't mean you will not access ECD. It must be available, just like schools, to say school is a public good, but you have a choice to take your child to a private school or to a government school. So with ECD, it must be the same, but currently there are no government ECDs where you can just say, oh, yes, we build ECDs, but they are still run by NPOs. So there are no government ECDs. That's what I can simply indicate by making it a public good. So that's where we are in terms of ECD. In terms of migration, the time frame may be difficult for me to say, but what I can say is that the two ministers are continuously engaging, because now there's a concept document that has been finalized for the two ministers to take to cabinet so that it can be endorsed. Then the implementation plan and the way forward is, you know, mapped out to say when is the migration going to take place. But I must say it may not happen in 1 year or 2 years. But what is needed in phases can happen, because we don't want to compromise the life of children and also the services as we do the migration of the function to basic education. But positively is that ECD is receiving attention in terms of injecting resources. So even now, Treasury is really saying, let's make sure that we increase the reach, because we realize that the numbers that we're dealing with are very small. Let's have the numbers of children that we have as a country. I'm not sure if I left something. I can come back if I've left something.
I think Connie, the other one was around the inconsistencies in terms of capacity that is available to fill up in the program. In this regard, we have one particular area where we are found wanting, which is foster care. And we report regularly to the portfolio committee in terms of this area. And this one area is that we're supposed to reduce the backlog. And the second one is to have a legislative solution around. So these are the two areas that we're working with the provinces, and our team that is led by Kodu will then go and support the provinces in terms of making sure that any discussion that is to do with margin trade and all of those role players or stakeholders that are supposed to assist us are well around, and then we can support them. The second area is about the child and youth care centers, which you would call that they were under SASA. And we now, the provinces there are six provinces that are involved in that, except Cape Verde and Free State and Mpumalanga. Those are the ones that are in kind of that arrangement. But the other, the rest of the other provinces, the six provinces, are beginning to graduate from the relationship with COSATU. So that's an area that where our legal team and HR are working together with the provinces to make sure that there's a process of relieving ourselves from that arrangement with COSATU. So I think those are the areas that I thought could highlight that shows how we are working with the provinces. I think Peter?
Thanks, Chair and members. There were two questions that were asked. One relates to the youth policy and the impact that what we do filter into the unemployment, poverty, and other poverty the youth are experiencing. And the second one was the issue of the NPO, but specifically we were looking at how do we monitor those funded NPOs. I think the disclaimer that we have is this is something the DG forgot. This is one of the areas where we have got unprecedented problems in terms of monitoring, and especially the funding of the NPOs. Let me start with the disclaimer. It's not uniform in other provinces. It works well in other provinces. It doesn't work well. What we have done as a national is to develop a policy and the guidelines to empower provinces on how to monitor those NPOs, especially the funding part. But we keep on changing because of the inconsistencies in provinces in terms of capacity, especially the district at the district level. But one element that I think you need to let the honourable members be aware, especially as the regional function, we have got a function to register all NPOs in the country in terms of the NPO Act 71 of 1997. All NPOs, non-profit organizations in the country are registered by the department as a regulator for the country. That's one part. Wherein what we do, we register all NPOs and give them licenses to operate. Some of them are non-profit companies that also register as an NPO. Some of them are trusts that are registered as an NPO. The majority of those that are registered are voluntary associations. That's in terms of the Bill of Rights, Section 80, Freedom of Association, then we organize that and register them. To date, we have got 224 as per annual report that are registered. We also monitor their compliance. We have seen a lot of non-compliance. Over 40% of those 224 NPOs are not reporting back as a violation of Section 18-24 of the NPO Act. And one of the strides that we're doing, we have implemented the Know Your Status campaign, where we pronounce, we go and assist them to comply to the NPO Act. The Act requires that if the NPO don't comply, they must be deregistered. Before we do that, we have to do campaigns so that we comply. It's the same as like a CIPC in business. If you don't report back, they deregister. So we do that. But on the other side, we, as a department, we fund NGOs for services that we render. We have over 21,000 NGOs that are funded, rendering all social development services, welfare, community development, etc. We spend over 7.6 billion per annum to fund those NGOs, which then, as a national office for, we develop a policy and a guideline and we empower provinces so that we can do it well. I've already disclaimed that it's not uniform. In other areas, we get problems about what we do. Continuously, we revise our guideline and ensure that we comply. Second part was the issue of the youth policy. what was spotted on the annual report was the issue of the, we have a policy that we developed to implement the NYDA policy, the regional policy we have, and also that assists provinces to be guided on what they are supposed to do. And we also develop a strategy so that they can mobilize this youth and they can also create centers. We've got youth centers. If you go to most of the province, they've got youth centers where youth go, and youth clubs where they become captive audiences for many issues. But above all, we have partnered with the Department of Defense since 2012. Take a few of the youth that we take from vulnerable youth, youth from the centers, youth from the poor areas, where we then take them to this special training, which we call it a leadership training, where we keep them for 10 days, giving them a lot of experience, and also exposing them to how the military tune the mind, bring motivation. And they learn a lot in terms of that. Of those cohorts, over 14,000 has gone through that since 2012. For the past 5 years, when we evaluate, only for evaluation on this program, we have seen about 12% of those things for motivated that they employ. Some are employed in the DOD, some of them get employment somewhere, but some of them go to other institutions. We haven't monitored the comprehensive youth development programs, but provinces have brought a lot. We can see Western Cape, there are those that we are busy evaluating to compile a report in terms of up to how far our contribution for employment, because it's a country strategy. So our contribution in terms of that, we have seen a very nice stride in terms of those youth that we involved, that we take for youth camping and for that skills program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vic. You, Brenda.
Just my voice as well. Welcome the GM. We left it about 20 minutes to close the meeting. But it's nice that you came and we got the apology. Thank you. You may continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Member, thank you, GM, that I get to have you here when I'm answering this one. the question was around the social protection policy and whether you are in a position to expedite through Parliament. Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that by the time it reaches Parliament, it has gone through all the other processes of consultation, etc. It's already been approved by Cabinet by the time it comes to Parliament. In that sense, when we present the legislation, then portfolio committees would already be expecting it. We will bring them before. One of the things that has led in this particular instance to the delay in the in passing some of the legislation has to do with it might not be obvious, but the Department of Social Development over the past 4 years, I think, has been in. So there's also that which hasn't been changed, because when a new minister comes, they need to be briefed, so they don't just continue the same scheme. So there has also been that, and then also there was the election period, which also meant certain things could not be dealt with by the previous parliament that has been in order to be kind of. But actually, it's harder to get policies passed and all of that prior to reaching the parliament, because the consultations and all of that is where the challenges really happen too, in terms of the experience that we take. For example, when the policy around social security policy, it's interesting that the Honourable Bacha was talking about social protection rather than social security. Social security policy itself has been going through a lot of consultations. Hasn't reached Parliament, it has not delayed the consultation phase in that, because of the litigation, all of those different stakeholder interests and the views. And once it passes that stage, actually the other stages become much easier. With regard to the question about military veterans, DGMS, I've forgotten that one. I'm sorry to degrade at this point, Chairperson, to illustrate the portfolio approach that Melissa has taken up and ask my colleague from SASA to respond to that one on the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries.
Thank you.
SASA, yeah. With regards to, you were asking about whether, what is this military thing that you're referring to, the veteran grant, and she's able to deal with that question.
And then you can say a number to it, it's War Veterans Grant 107.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's another one that is the name and the name of number of social relief from the SRP 252833. So I don't know. This, oh, yeah, no, no, they're all that numbers. Okay, but it's okay.
Thank you,
Chairperson,
and all members. With regard to the war veterans grants that we paid are not for veterans of the struggle. They're for veterans who served in the Second World War or the Korean War. And that's why the numbers are progressively decreasing, because those veterans are getting really old. The pension for the veterans of the struggle are paid through the Department of Finance, and they're not governed by the Social Assistance Act. However, something that a lot of veterans don't know is if they get a special pension through Department of Finance, and if they're over 60 or if they have disability that prevents them from working, they can still come and apply for a social grant as well. When we apply the means test for that social grant, we do not take the money into account that they receive a special pension, so they actually can be both. And that is something that we've tried to popularize and work very closely with the Department of Military Veterans on that one. And and I know, because Nelly said that we would provide a written response, just some information in terms of the opportunities which were created for veterans and their dependents. SASA provided 450 contract opportunities for veterans or their dependents, so that at least one person in that family, in the veteran's family, would be employed on a contract basis for a specific period of time. Those contracts have come to an end, and we currently don't have any veterans on that program at the moment, but we are still looking to see how we would be able to continue it into the future. Thank you so much, Chair.
The last one, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. The question was on the partnership you're having with the Department of Higher Education. We have been a collaboration on the work that you're doing in terms of tracking the performance of our child grant recipients who then progress in terms of school and enter matric, can see for those that are writing matric how many of them pass as they were receiving grants either at that time or yet received in the, at some point in their life. So we have then have collaboration with the NSFAS, whereby the agreement is that those children that have received grants and they perform well, they don't need to be meal tested when they apply for NSFAS funding so that they are able to receive that. So it's a work that we've been doing for quite some time, and it is working. Even currently, we, the class of 2019, they've already over 400,000 of our children that who had received grants, they've received the pre-approval. So we're just waiting for them to perform and pass the metric, and they'll have that automatic qualification and they receive their funding if they meet all other requirements in terms of passing as well as having applied for tertiary institution. That's all that.
That time is not on our side. I'll say, let's see what I'm
saying. Chairperson, there's just two things. I'd just like to say that we would like you to come and present that ECD process to us, so we welcome that. And then my question on, as part of your program four, your reduced expenditure for the HPV. But maybe it's a question for now, and not so much answering you, but as part of your program four, it is one of your drivers is things like HIV, TB, and STI. So, but maybe it could be a written answer.
May we thank the Honourable Christians, but some of the answers need to be given in writing because we have a time constraint and we don't want to leave things hanging. Thank you very much. I'll give over to the GM if you want just to say something to our creditors. And we appreciate that after your meeting you came here.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Jefferson, and thank you to Team DSD, Southern NDA, and to the Select Committee. I thought since Cabinet has ended, let me show my face. Help me to really apologize. We were dealing with the 15 days of activism, so I needed to end the struggle route, which were projects that I was responsible for, so I could not cut myself in half. But when I finished, I felt it was important that for me to just come and greet. I will obviously meet the team immediately after this meeting so that I ensure that I'm briefed on what are the outstanding questions that you need to receive in writing so that the acting DG and the DDGs can just bring me back to speed on how the meeting went and what are the outstanding so that you can hold me accountable when you don't receive that which is outstanding. But thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thanks, William. And other members, if there should be other additional questions that members want in writing, you can give them to the committee secretary. You want to say, okay,
No, Chase, it's not a question, but I think maybe to ask the chairperson to interact with acting DG in terms of the offer to come to us with the action plan that will deal with the AG findings and how the department wants to address some of those. Just to say, from the chair must then interact with the department in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Bach. And that's one little thing I think should be the last note. When people talk, they say, no, we have created a portfolio committee. We are not a portfolio committee of parliament. So if they say briefing, you brief the portfolio and then you bring the standing committee. If you say we briefed parliament, then it's different. It means you briefed everybody, and if there is a gap or something, you know, we were left in our committees fell through the crack. But anyway, thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.